You mentioned a name here a moment ago, Steve Fat Daddy Harris, or Steve Brummel. He had a major influence on Katie, not just in engineering, but he was the program director as well. Talk about Steve and his philosophy and just how he ran his ship.
Steve had spent time in major markets of Albuquerque and Denver and knew what the larger markets radio stations sound like. And of course, we were very mindful of larger stations because we could hear KOMA coming in at night. And basically at night, Katie was competing against KOMA. If you didn't have the most current vinyl, the most current songs on the air, you know, you weren't doing well. But Steve kept the playlist up to date. He had a very good sound on the air. He led by example. I think that he was well liked by everyone. His show was good. You know, and he had good things to say. You know, it wasn't that everybody was Mr. Personality, you know, with regard to all these glib things to say. Many of the times it was, that was, the time and temperature is, and here comes, and that would be the break. Or sometimes you do commercials or read commercials or have some other kind of announcements, but you know, it wasn't like there were slogans up in the control room for the jocks to say. You knew what you wanted to say. And so I had some funny things, and I tried to come up with some funny things too. You know, it was basically keeping a good up attitude.
Katie had the Katie Fabulous 14 survey. Do you remember that?
I do. And Steve used to type those up and put them up on the thumbtack, that up on the bulletin board in the control room. You know, it having something like that, it would be something that you could contour your patter around. Say, hey, number three this week, number nine last week. Here comes that rainy day feeling again, yeah. or whatever.
Now, you had the opportunity to work both at 314 North McKinley and the 1400 Katy Lane. Talk a little bit about Katy in the McKinley era and then your thoughts of the new studios.
Well, you know, for me, from my era, 314 North McKinley is the sacred ground of KATI. It was the era where Katy was when the Beatles came out.
Amen.
It was the era when radio was exploding, when rock and roll was exploding. In the mid-60s, when I was in high school, there was this period of time from 1963 until 1968 when Top 40 music was totally on fire. It was a time when the Beach Boys had their sound come out and the Southern California sound come out. And then suddenly, early 1964, the Beatles hit on the Ed Sullivan Show. They came in. The British Invasion came in. To be lucky enough to have all their hits and a new album every 6 months for 3 years. If you thought normal life was going to be like that forever, you were badly mistaken. There was Motown that came out. There was
folk rock.
All of these songs. It was the Hootenanny era was over. There was a little bit of the folk rock, but predominantly.
Well, you had the Simon and Garfunkels and the
yes,
and some of the English crowd was in that same era.
Yes, and but it was very popular. It was very well produced. It moved. You had Burt Bacharach and his music, and Hal David, and they were writing for Dionne Warwick, which was going gangbusters.
Neil Diamond.
Neil was just getting started about that time, but you had a very fresh sound that was competitive and was being renewed all the time.
Yeah.
And on a top 40 radio station, the tunes just kept churning and new and updated, and it was a superb period of time. You know, toward the end of the 60s, the albums took over. You know, after 68, the psychedelic times started to pick up. The radio sounds started to bifurcate with top 40 on one side and album rock on the other. That was kind of the two dimensions that happened there. And you found in all the major markets that the AM stations were doing the top 40, and and the Bill Drake sound and the like. And then you had album rock. And during that time in the mid-60s of Katy, man, it was on fire.
Now talk about the 1400 Katy Lane move.
Before we get to Katy Lane, 314 North McKinley, as I mentioned, the temple of old Katy was a house. And the house was turned into a radio station. When you walked in the front door, in the back of the house on the left was the main air control room. Then there was a closet where the teletype machine was. Then immediately to the right was the bathroom, which had a tub. And then immediately to the right of that was the production room. And in the front was a lobby. On the left side was the manager's office. On the right side was the sales bullpen. But it was a house. It was just a little, it was not traditional broadcasting. It didn't have traditional control rooms. It had carpets on the floor to deaden the sound. You know, it was the first place where I really felt that I was making a radio program which really communicated. So that to me is kind of like the ground zero of my broadcasting experience. Going over to 1400 Katy Lane, well, it was it was a modern building. Pat Meenan built it. The main console was designed and built by Steve Harris. I watched him build it over the course of time. It was a real work of art and worked very well. It was a it was an extension of that. And unfortunately, I left the following summer to go off to the University of Wyoming. You know, I don't have as many memories there. I would come back and see my friends, but it was the summer of 1966, and we'd been there 6 months. I helped paint the lobby, you know, back in the old days. We had to save money, you know, so we painted ourselves.
Yep.